Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now beginning the eighth perek, the eighth chapter of Masechet Bava Batra. And as promised, this perek takes us into a new direction and is devoted to issues of nachala, of inheritance. And the first Mishnah, which we'll deal with, which will take us over the next seven daf or so, will delineate those different kinds of relationships within a family in which inheritance is either bidirectional, unidirectional, or non-existent at all. Before beginning our study of the Perek, it would be prudent for us to take a look at the Parsha of Nachalot in the Torah, which is presented as the one set of Pesukim on the page, all numbered Pasuk 1, but which takes place within the context of the story of Bnot Tzlofchad. So if you recall, in Sefer Bamidbar, in Parshat Pinchas, the daughters of Tzlofchad, after Moshe tells Bnei Israel about the divine command to divide the land and to give the land based on a goral, based on Beit Matei Av, the daughters of Tzlofchad come forward and say that our father had no sons, etc. And within that context, we have this parsha. Take a look at the parsha, and you can see that after Hashem confirms the words of Bnot Tzlofchad, he says, it's important to note the use of that word. So if he dies and has no son, implying that a son is first, if he has no son, then you shall transfer, not give, but transfer the inheritance to his daughter. And if he has no daughter, then you give the inheritance to his brothers. We'll see what kind of brothers these are. And if he has no brothers, you give it to the brothers of his father. Now clearly in this equation, somebody is missing, and that is father, who's at the center of this. Because after all, what makes these brothers my brothers is a common father, as we'll see. That's the passage that's key for us. What's she'iro? Means his family. Which family member? Unclear. Okay, so let's start the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins as a typical schematic Mishnah, the type which we've seen several times in Shas, in which it lays out with two variables the four possible outcomes. Yesh nochalin u'manchilin. Nesh nochalin v'lo manchilin. Yeh manchilin v'lo nochalin. Lo nochalin v'lo manchilin. There are those relationships which are nochalin, receive inheritance, u'manchilin and bequeath. Some who only receive, some only bequeath, and some who neither. Let's see what they are. Nochalin u'manchilin, who's that? Ha'av et habanim. Father inherits from sons. If a son dies before the father, tragically, the father inherits. Vabanim ata'av. Sons inherit from father. Vachin min ha'av. And paternal brothers inherit from each other. That's nochalin u'manchilin. Ha'ish et imo va'ish et ishto uvnei achayot. However, a man from his mother, a man from his wife, and nephews from sisters. Nochalin v'lo manchilin. They receive but do not bequeath in those relationships. And now the next one is, of course, the flip of it. Ha'ishat baneha, a woman to her sons. Ha'ishat ba'ala, a woman to her husband. V'achei ha'em, and mother's brothers. Manchilin v'lo nochalin. They bequeath, but don't get. That's the flip side of the second clause. Ha'chin min ha'em, maternal brothers, lo nochalin v'lo manchilin, have no relationship vis-a-vis nachala. Okay. The first thing the Gemara is interested in is about the rhetoric, why the Mishnah started with, or the sequencing, why the Mishnah started with a father inheriting from his sons. Ma'ishan diktani ha'av et habanim. Why does it start with the father inheriting from the sons? Bereisha. Litni habanim et ha'av bereisha. It should start with the sons inheriting from the father. Why? Chada datchula pranatu lamatachlina. The first reason is because you don't want to start off the perek with the description of a tragic scene, which is the father bearing his own children and then inheriting from them. Besides which, plus the opening of the parsha is if a man dies without sons, it goes to the daughter, clearly implying son is first. So the normal case is where the father dies and it goes to the son. So why did the Tana pick the father inheriting from the son? The Tana, because the fact that the father inherits from the son was inferred by a drasha. He was so in love with this halacha, he put it first. So now, the rest of this podcast will be focused on which drasha, what's the source of this halacha, the father inherits from sons. My drasha, the Tanya, She'iro, remember that elusive word She'iro in the last pasuk of the parsha, Zeha'av. We say that's a reference to father. In the next podcast, we'll see why we've decided it's father. For right now, we'll assume it is. So this proves that father comes before brothers, meaning that the order is son, no son, then daughter, no children, then father, no father. Father's already dead, then it goes to the paternal brothers. So that's the slide, which, as we'll point out a little later, means that the sequence in the parsha is not in order. I might think that father comes first, which means if a man dies and his father's still alive, regardless of the fact that he has children, it goes to his father. Right? In that same pasuk, it says, what does that mean? Meaning the rule in Nachala is whoever is closer to you is first in line. And therefore, we've decided that the son is the one who is closest. Really, children are the one who are closest to a person, more than his brothers, more than his father, and therefore they automatically would come first. So once I've decided the sequence is no longer meaningful, therefore, why do I assume that son comes first and brother is knocked out and father is in between them? So the answer is, I'm going to include the son because I see that the son is closest to the father, because the son stands instead of the father, in lieu of the father, when it comes to Yud, if the father has an Ama Ivriya, and when she comes of age, he has the three choices, which are to marry her to his son, or to free her. So, but not to his brother. Well, the Steachuza, if a father dedicates a Steachuza, the son can stand in his stead for redemption. So, Adirabba, Barbaniya Ta'ashkin, Kam Tacharachiv the Yibum. But I see in a very powerful case, where the brother takes the role of the brother and stands in his stead, and that's Yibum. And the answer is no. Klumi Yibum Elamok Moshein Ben. But there's only Yibum if there's no son. So it's the lack of a son that generates the Yibum. Right. So that's why. So that doesn't prove anything. Ha Bemok Moshein Ben Ein Yibum. So if there is a son, there is no Yibum. Now let's step back a second. We've said that the son comes first because of this strong question of Yibum only happening without a son. If it weren't for that, I would think the brother comes first. Typically, even without that question, I have another reason, because I would say, typically, the hachatarte v'hachachara. After all, even if Yibum were on the table, I would say that in the case of the son, I have two factors that support his being closest, which are Yud and Steachuza. In the case of the brother, I still only have one, which is Yibum. So the answer is, the reason I needed that challenge was Steachuza Gufa Mehai Taima Hudaka Kaimale Latana. Our Tana only knows that the son stands instead of the father for Steachuza, something which is not explicit in the text, only because of the same question. In other words, in Arachin, when we discuss which relative stands instead of the man for Steachuza, it could either be brother or son. We threw out the same possibility, who is closest, and we threw out the possibility that brother is closest because of Yibum, and then we said, Klum Yashib Melamok Moshein Ben, Yibum only exists when there is no son, Hayesh Ben and Yibum. So therefore, we see that that without that question, I'm still going to be stuck with the original equation, and my 2 versus 1 won't work. All right. Ema She'ero Zeha'av. Fine, I've accepted that She'er is Av. Why don't I say that the father comes even higher up on the rung? In other words, why don't I say that the father comes between son and daughter? Say it's son. If there's no son, it goes to the father. No father goes to the daughter. And from there on in, in other words, the pasuk is only there to tell me he doesn't come before the son. The answer is very simply. Since in the context of Yibum, a son and daughter are all the same, if you have a son or you have a daughter, either way, they exempt you from Yibum. Then, therefore, once the Torah instituted, based on the initiative of Benot Slavcha, that daughters inherit after sons, then sons and daughters are now equal, and you can't put anybody in between them. All right, so now let's try the other possibility. Why don't I take father one rung down from where I put him? You're testing, why did I decide to make it son, daughter, father, brothers, uncles? Why don't I say it's son, daughter, brothers, father, uncles? And it's simply generational. You start with the next generation, then we go to the same generation, then we go to the previous generation. So the answer is, I don't need a pasuk to tell me that father would come before his own brothers, meaning the uncles. After all, how are the uncles stepping into this position at all? They're coming because of their father, meaning their brother is the father of the deceased man. So they're only coming because of that brother. So certainly he would come first. You think if the father was alive, his own brothers would inherit before he? Now, that's how we've settled that the father is between son and daughter, then father, then brothers, then uncles. Now, but the problem is the psukim are not written in that order. Meaning Sheiro, which we said his father, comes at the end of the list. The answer is Christ Shalokasidran Kativi. The psukim are not written in order. Now, this is a very problematic phrase because the entire point of this parsha is sequence. Who comes first? So we have to modify it and say, Christ Shalokasidran Kativi is only in reference to this one, Pasuk of She'er, which we then used our own reasoning to plug it in earlier. Okay, that was one source for father being in and father inheriting, and now we know the Tana loved this source so much because it's a beautiful drasha, and therefore he decided to place that sequence before the natural sequence of sons inheriting from fathers. Now, Vahai Tana, Maita Lamihacha, we have another Tana who learned father's inheritance of sons from another source. The Tanya Zudar Shal Bishmo Rabbi Yossi, the darshan as follows. Ish kemut uvein ein lo v'avartem anachlato levito. If a man dies and he has no son, he transfers it to the daughter. The idea is, transfer here means you're transferred away from the father. So if there's a daughter, you're transferred away from the father. But if there's no son or daughter and there's only brothers, you don't take it away from the father. In other words, lahavir means to take it away from the father. So clearly when a man dies and he has a son, it goes to the son. If he has a daughter, we're mechadesh, favartem, you transfer it away from the father to the daughter. The implication is the father was sort of second in line, and then because of the daughter, he became third in line, son, daughter, father. Right? And that's how we know that father inherits. We're going to do the same thing we just did. Why don't we say that you transfer it where there is a daughter? You transfer it away from the brothers. Right? But maybe you don't take it away from the father, even if there's a daughter. Meaning, as long as the father's around, it goes son, father, daughter, brothers. And the daughter, her transferring is she's taking it away from the brothers. Again, why don't we put the father one rung up? Then you don't need the word vahavartem, because the whole point of the transfer is there's something being pushed out of place. All right, good. That's the layout. Now, Laman, now we're going to play a little midrash of ping pong. What's each one going to do with the other's pasuk? Laman, denafkalemi vavartem. This last Tana, hi, Sheiro, ma'avile. How does he interpret Sheiro? So, ibaile, the chedetanya, Sheiro, zu ishto. The word she'er, which most commonly is used in reference to a marital relationship, says that's what it is. Ma'avile, shabal, yoreshet ishto. In other words, that the fact that Torah never says explicitly what happens in a marital case of death, meaning does the husband inherit from the wife? He says, so the Sheiro therefore tells you that he inherits from his wife. And now it's no longer part of the sequence. It's a whole different story. Well, the Manda Nafka Lemi Sheiro, what about the first Tana who learned from Sheiro, her learned father? Hai Vavartem Mayavidle. What does he do with Vavartem? He needs it for Rebbe's drasha. Rebbe Omer, Bechulan Nimar Behen Netina, Vachan Nimar Behen Havara. In all other cases of Nachala, it says give. Here it says transfer. Because the daughter is the only one who could transfer land from one tribe to another. How? Daughter inherits something from father who's from Zvulun, let's say. And then she then marries a guy from Dan. And then if she dies, it goes to Dan. So it transfers from Zvulun to Dan. Because since her son and her husband are going to inherit from her, Therefore, it will get transferred. Okay, we'll stop at that point. Just to sum up, the Tana who learned father's inheritance from She'er used Vavartem essentially to teach that a husband inherits from his wife because of the Havara, because we learned that because the daughter is the one who could transfer Nachala from Shevet to Shevet, because she marries somebody from another Shevet and dies, it's going to go to him. The other one who learned the Tana, who learned the father's inheritance from Vavartem, will use She'ero to teach the same lesson, but more directly, and that is that the husband inherits from his wife. We'll stop at this point and get into the definition of She'er in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.